It's Outdoor Explorer. I'm Charles Wolforth. When you think of sailing, maybe you think of multi-million dollar America's Cup yachts or rich guys in blue blazers sipping cocktails. But Alaskans sail too, and we do it the Alaskan way, out in beautiful places where getting around by the power of wind is fun, interesting, and makes a lot of sense. On today's show, we're talking about the many aspects of sailing, from ocean cruising to lake sailing in dinghies and even sailing with radio-controlled model boats in local ponds. And we'll find out how you can get involved in sailing and learn how to do it, even if you aren't a millionaire and don't even own a blue blazer. And I've got a whole bunch of guests today to share this exciting sport of sailing, which is very, very close to my heart. And thinking that today is our primer on the many subjects of sailing, and then later on we can dig more deeply into any particular one of them. Sam Steele is here with me in the studio. He's the Commodore of the William Seward Sailing Club, which is based in Seward, right?
That is correct.
Well, thanks for being with us, Sam.
Thanks for having me.
And also in the studio, Bruce Lee, who's the past Commodore. We use the word Commodore in the lingo of sailing clubs. It sounds very, very formal, but you're the past sort of what we call president of the Alaska Sailing Club, which is a lake sailing group.
Correct. We're up at Big Lake, and Commodore is way more cool sounding than president.
It is indeed. And on the phone with us is Deborah Altermat, who has a company called Sailing Inc. down in Seward. They do charters and lessons, and Deborah's super involved in the whole boating community down in Seward. Thanks for being with us, Deborah.
Well, thanks so much for having me.
So what's the sailing been like this summer? Let's go around and talk about it that way. I mean, it's been so sunny and gorgeous. It seems like every outdoor thing you want to do has been good. But you guys are also thinking about wind. Deborah, what's the wind been like down in Seward?
You know, we've got a class going on right now, and yesterday they were out for their first day of a four-day class. They went out and they had some really great winds in the afternoon, and it picked up quite a bit, so they came back looking like they'd have a full day of sailing, probably about 20 knots or so.
Whoa, I bet they will have tans, too. And I'm looking at Sam. You've got a really nice tan. Is that all from being on the water?
Yes, it is. Yeah, we've been quite a bit this summer out on the water with all the sunshine. It's been just a great summer.
Uh-huh. And what kind of boat do you have, Sam?
I have a Nordic, a 34-foot, it's a sloop. So it's just traditional type of sailing vessel that I keep down there on J-Dock.
Uh-huh. And so you've got down below a galley and a place where you can sleep. And so you can do, I mean, where the rest of us might think of going to Prince William Sound and sleeping in a tent, you've got sort of your home away from home out in the wilderness.
That is correct. Yeah, down below we have a galley. And you have a head, and you have a couple places where you can sit around, and then we've got two berths, one in the fore peak, and then one in the back. So I can really sleep probably around seven people. But yeah, the story goes is that I used to was a sea kayaker for many years, and then one time I was out with my son out in Thumb Cove, and we were looking out underneath the tarp while it was getting rained on, looking out at the sailboats, and going, man, wouldn't that be nice to be out on one of those sailboats? And He was like, oh, Dad, yeah, it would. You know, and so that's kind of what prompted me to begin taking classes with Sailing Inc., in fact.
And then you had to go out and learn how to do it.
And then I had to go, yep, exactly.
Yeah. So, Bruce, your sailing mostly takes place up at Big Lake, right?
We're at Big Lake. The club has been established since the early 60s. It's been around a long, long time. And we've got a group of dinghies, both owned by the club for the, you know, members to sail. I mentioned, and a lot of the members, of course, have their own boats, some big and fancy, and some not so.
Yeah. Well, I personally have to disclose. I guess it's not really a conflict of interest that I grew up sailing on yachts on the East Coast with my grandfather, who didn't own one, but we did that every summer. And then here in Alaska, we had one of those little boats that we sailed around Big Lake. A little 14-foot boat, and I spent many a sunny afternoon baking out there in Big Lake waiting for the wind to blow. The wind there is fluky, and it seems like it's a gorgeous place to sail, and you don't care too much if you fall in the water, but it's not always windy.
It's not always windy, and we get very good at light wind sailing techniques.
Uh-huh.
Although this year we've had just awesome winds because of the warm fronts we've had. It also, we get the late afternoon and early evening winds. Yeah. Sailing at noon to 2 o'clock, not so good.
Yeah, well, that's one thing about coastal Alaska, or South Central Alaska anyways. You get this day breeze where the warm land will pull the wind off the ocean. And I'm down in Homer most of the summer, and there's a lot of sailing there, of course. You wouldn't want to sail in the morning, but after 1 o'clock, sometimes it gets even too crazy on mm-hmm. these sunny days.
We would like too crazy more often.
Yeah.
Sam talks at 20 knots. That's a rarity for us. We can get some 10-knot and 12-knot stuff, but mm-hmm. over that is the rarity.
So, Bruce, you're introducing kids to sailing, people who can get into sailing without much investment because these small boats are not so expensive.
Oh, our membership is much cheaper, but we're a much, much smaller scale stuff. Smaller boats, less money to maintain and this sort of thing. We're on our second group right now. They're in class right now. Class started at 11 o'clock today for a three-day class. We're doing a lot more junior work. By juniors, we're meaning 12, 13, 14-year-olds and up, boys and girls, and looking just great seeing the kids out there.
Mm-hmm.
Big emphasis on that teaching now.
There's something just summer about a little sailboat and a kid, and they can take a lot of responsibility on their own little boat.
They are the captain. And yeah. after the second day, they are a captain of their own boat and out there, and the progression to see is absolutely fantastic.
Uh-huh. So, Deborah, you are making your living through sailing down in Seward. Do you introduce a lot of people to sailing?
Yeah, we do. You know, Sailing Inc. has been in Seward now, operating since 1975. And it was actually started with PT and Dean Lust back then when there were very, very few sailboats in the harbor. And they got affiliated with the American Sailing Association, and we have continued that legacy now for quite a long time, putting probably at least 100 or more Alaskans through an ASA certified sailing program. And it goes anywhere from our classes are leveled from beginning classes through advanced coastal cruising. We most years we also have a junior sailing program here. We haven't done that in the last couple of years because we kind of transitioned over to where families were more interested in doing it as a group, as a whole with the parents and the children. And so this summer we've actually had separate classes where there would be a mom and dad, or a mom and a friend, or a dad and a friend, and then a couple of kids that would go out and take the class. And they could get the same certification with the American Sailing Association as if they'd gone through our regular program.
So a sailing, ocean sailing yacht is a big, complex, and expensive piece of equipment. And you really do need to know what the heck you're doing before you take it off on your own. How do you develop that expertise? Like, do you start with classroom instruction? Or, I mean, many people do not necessarily understand even how sails work and how you could sail
right.
towards the wind. Be pushed in the direction that the wind's coming from by sails, and so that it takes some learning, I expect.
Well, it does, but the American Sailing Association is a great program it's very sequential, and there's a couple of textbooks that we tell students that they should read before they get down here. Now, they don't always do that. You know how doing homework is. Same
yeah.
thing for recreational as it is for school. Some students end up having read it, and others don't. So you're right. We do. We meet in a classroom here in our office for the morning hours for several hours, and we go through some of the theory, some of the just practical aspects of sailing. And then the first day, we take the students down to the boat and show them all the different elements of the boat, and start especially trying to get into the vocabulary, because the vocabulary is like a second language.
That's part of what makes it fun.
Yeah, but you can read the book, but until you go down and you get on the boat, it really is difficult to have it make sense. And so then in the afternoon, and actually our students, we just barbecued hamburgers for them here for a lunch break, and then they took off, and they'll be out on the water now from 1 to 6 on their second day of instruction. And so today they'll be going through more skills and just progressing through that. At the end of the 4 days, they should actually be able to go out on that 30-foot boat and handle it on their own if they've successfully gone through the program.
And so then they're able to charter a boat from you to take their family out sailing
yeah.
in Resurrection Bay.
They can actually charter the same boat that they learned on, with the idea that since they learned on that boat, they're familiar with it, and they can take it out on their own, or maybe a couple of the classmates will want to go out together, get familiar with that boat, with just being on their own, and then just, again, step-by-step work up the ladder of the learning curve until they're actually able to go out overnight and then start venturing further out of Resurrection Bay.
Great. So, Sam, it sounds like you took this same class, and now you're the commodore of the yacht club, so it must have taken. Tell me what is it about sailing that makes you want to devote so much of your time to it? What is it? What I mean, some Alaskans would say, well, if you just threw a 100-horse outboard on the thing, you'd get there a lot faster, right?
That is true. I guess it was the romance of sailing, the idea of it. It's what originally caught my attention, and then finally taking the classes and putting it all together. Once I got into it, I really I knew this was something I wanted to pursue. It's very as far as the sport goes, it has really challenged me, is because there's so many different aspects of sailing that I personally enjoy. I mean, there's either from sail trim and trying to sail the boat efficiently to windward, to you get to learn about navigation and weather, and we also have these little diesel engines that get us in and out of the harbor. And sometimes when it's flat calm, we have to rely on our diesel, and so you learn how to maintain your diesel engine. So there's so many different aspects to sailing, but you know, ultimately, once you push out of the harbor and you're out there clear of the entrance, you can cut the engine off, raise the sails, and everything gets quiet, and the boat, you know, nicely heels over, and it's very quiet, and it's very, you know, romantic. It's
very peaceful.
Very, very peaceful.
You know, one of the things you mentioned strikes a chord with me, because there's a sense of sailing a sailboat is much more complicated. There's a lot more knowledge involved, and as a recreational activity, that's kind of an advantage. I have a motorboat that I drive around Kachemak Bay to get to my cabin. And mm-hmm. I've had my cousin and my brother, who are sailors from the East Coast, come and get on it. And they said, wow, this is kind of like driving a car. You know, you just point it the right direction. There's more to it than that. You got to know something to be safe. But with a sailboat, you've got a whole list of things that you're thinking about in terms of steering the boat, for the sails, for the weather, so the right amount of sail, right. You know, all of those mm-hmm. different things. Which, when you're doing for recreation, actually makes it more interesting.
That is correct. I mean, yeah, sometimes you have to pull the sails down, you have to reef them, and when you get into too high winds, and sometimes you have to put up more sail because you're in really light winds, you'd be flying mm-hmm. a spinnaker. I mean, so there's a lot that really, really goes into it. You can, like Deb said, you can learn in a weekend how to run a boat, but it can take a lifetime trying to master it.
You're never going to be know everything. Yeah.
That's right.
So have you done some cruising around the coastal Alaska? And that's something else you can do in a sailboat you can't do in a motorboat, because you're not using fuel all the time, right? I mean, you can actually cover some distance.
That's correct. Yeah, you're not really limited by the size of your fuel tank. But yeah, I've done quite a bit of cruising, especially there in Resurrection Bay, and going to Iallic and Day Harbor, into Prince William Sound. In May, I helped bring a boat up from Kodiak to Whittier, and that was quite a learning experience. It was my first storm out in the Gulf, and we got caught out and about 2 a.m. in the morning, we got caught in 50-knot winds, and so it got a little exciting. But sometimes you have no wind, and sometimes you have too much wind. And,
yeah.
But when it gets, when it's nice and it's steady, you know, there's nothing like it. You're just sitting there, boat is balanced, and you're just kind of sailing right along, and, you know, it's very, yeah. very, very enjoyable.
Well, I mean, a big sailing yacht is made for taking that kind of weather, right? It's got this heavy keel. It's going to keep us upright. If you're on a equivalent-sized motorboat in 50-knot winds, you'd be in serious trouble.
That's correct, yeah. So you always have the keel that kind of balances the boat, and that's the kind of it's a safety aspect of having a boat that gets pushed over by the wind that's almost always going to right itself. You know, if you're out there in a powerboat and you lose your engines and you're adrift, then you could be in serious trouble.
Mm-hmm. Let's not leave aside the expense, because obviously a sailboat is a very expensive investment, and then upkeep. And if you're going to get into this, that's going to be what you do, right? I mean, you're not going to have a sailboat and something else. You're really going to be focused on that, right?
That is true. I find myself in the summer going down to Seward almost every weekend, or, you know, every other weekend, because you've invested your time and effort, and there's a lot to know and stay on top of, and whether it's maintenance or just getting out and enjoying the bay. So, yeah, you do feel like you want to get out there and use it as much as possible.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, it's great to get away from everybody and get out there in a cove and just anchor up and enjoy the good weather, hopefully.
Yeah, yeah. Whether it's windy or not, you can still like lie back in the sun and just have a great time.
That's right.
It's unusual. I mean, usually being on the water in the summertime in Alaska, you are wearing a sweater, regardless of how nice the weather is, because mm-hmm. that cool ocean breeze. But this summer, has been unique. I mean, it really, even when it's windy, it's not that cold. Just exceptional weather.
Yeah. I mean, it's always fun to go to, of course, to Ankara, but then to go to the beaches and explore the beaches and find all kinds of stuff that comes up on the beaches, and, you know, have bonfires there and with friends and just hanging out, and the relationships that you develop in sailing are just tremendous. You know, and that's kind of one of the nice things about joining, being a part of a yacht club and a sailing community are the relationships that you develop. Because sometimes you're going to need help. You're going to have questions because you're not going to know it all when you first get into it. And you're going to be kind of overwhelmed. And so when you have this vast knowledge to draw upon, or to anchor up with and hang out with, and it's part of the whole.
Yeah, and you're out in this amazing wilderness, and you're really quite comfortable.
Oh, yeah. We've got racers that come up from San Francisco. They have consistent winds down there, but our scenery up here is just, spectacular.
It's the best.
It is. It's absolutely incredible.
So, Deborah, you charter and you also sell sailboats or act as a broker in sale of sailboats?
We do. We have actually been an active dealer and broker since 1975 and gone through several different manufacturers that we've represented. Currently in Alaska, we are Alaska's only authorized dealer for Beneteau and Catalina. We have had Island Packet, and those three are like three of the top manufacturers in the States. Of course, in the last few years, there's been a lot of changing in the manufacture of boats, both power and sail. But we generally sell one or two new boats a year, and then we do have brokerage boats here, and we do both power and sail, predominantly sailboats. But we carry usually about 20 boats on our brokerage listing. And this summer it's been pretty active, and you can imagine that it would be. Because of the weather, we had kind of a slow start in May when it was really cold, and then as soon as June came around with all the sunshine, we seemed to be selling boats like hotcakes somewhat, and which is really great.
So I want to make sure everybody knows who you are. Deborah Altermat is with Sailing Inc. Down in Seward. They teach sailing, they charter boats, and sell and broker boats. And just a moment ago, you heard from Sam Steele, who's a Commodore of the William Seward Sailing Club, and also in the studio with me is Bruce Lee from the Alaska Sailing Club. Deborah, it's classically one of the most expensive sports to get involved in, and yet we're making it sound so great. So we want to make sure people understand kind of the parameters. Maybe start from the top, what it costs if you were going to buy your very own sailboat, and then we can go down to, well, maybe I can't do that, I could charter one, and then let's talk about the lessons, just to put some brackets around the expense of sailing as a hobby.
Yeah, and I think that's a great question, and it's not just the expense in dollars, but it's also the expense in time, and Sam kind of hit that. I think, you know, for Alaskans who are generally a very, very active group of people, especially those who love the outdoors, it's really hard to decide if you're going to dedicate your summer to being on the water or if you've got a cabin somewhere. I mean, we have customers down here who, or harbor users, people in the harbor here who, if they have a sailboat or a powerboat, they also have a cabin up at Big Lake. And they try to, you know, balance their time between the two. Or if people have an airplane and they want to go out remote fishing or do something like that, it's really hard. But I would say that of about the 200 sailboats that we have here in the Seward Harbor, that most people that are actively using them will come down at least two weekends a month, and most of them will try to get out for a week or two and do a longer trip over to maybe Prince William Sound or go over to the Kenai Fjords National Park, which is beautiful, and try to justify the expense of their time and their money by putting enough time into it that it is great for their family and themselves as individuals.
And so how much does it cost to buy a sailing yacht?
So, you know, you can get into a sailboat that you're not going to have to do a lot of maintenance, that's going to be ready to go sailing for probably, I would say, a low ball figure of maybe, you can get lucky at $20,000, but maybe $30,000. And you might even be able to find a smaller one. But when you look at ocean sailing or bay sailing, which is basically what most of us do, staying in Resurrection Bay, which is 20 miles of wonderful bay sailing, but you still need a boat that's going to be able to take some good winds and some good tides and water.
Yeah, it can whip up in really in a hurry.
I'm sorry?
The weather can whip up in a hurry in Resurrection Bay. You don't want to.
Yeah. We have pretty good protection here, and we have also pretty good prediction so that you can either hear it or you can look off and see it. And communication on VHF radio between maybe the fishermen who are way out and what's happening out there, and then amongst the other boats in the bay, generally is a really good safety factor. But, you know, once you spend that initial amount of money and you get a boat that's, let's say, at the smallest for the bay would be 25 feet. And if you get a 25-foot boat, you're gonna want to be young and strong and love getting wet.
Right.
Because, you know, the smaller you get, the a little bit rougher it's going to be out there. And if you get a boat like that, once you make the initial expenditure, then and it's in decent condition, the cost of keeping it is basically going to be your moorage. It's going to be your annual insurance, and then your annual upkeep, which could be such simple things as changing filters and your oil,
sure,
and maybe occasional parts that you need to change out, but hopefully not huge expenditures like sails and engines and different things which should last quite a long time.
Right. So what about chartering? What if, you know, you're not sure you want to or don't have the money to invest in a boat? How much does it cost to charter a boat for an experienced sailor?
Well, we actually have three different boats right now, three different sizes. We have our class boat, which is a 32-foot boat, and it's the least expensive to take out. And if you take it for a full day, it's $455. We also have a larger vessel. It's a 37-foot boat, which is $555. So it's pretty comparable with places outside that charge by the day. And we also, if you're a recent student, we can, you know, do a half a day. But normally people will go out for 2 days just so they can do the overnight, get out to Thumb Cove or Sunny. Or
otherwise, you just spend all your time getting set up and coming back, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you want to experience that overnight and have a great time out there.
So what about the classes? What is the tuition for your classes?
Well, the four-day class that we have is an American Sailing Association class that covers basic sailing and basic coastal cruising. And it's 4 days of intense instruction from 9 to 6 both days. We include meals, and it is $895 for that class. And with that class, you get your certificate from American Sailing Association, and it's actually good anywhere in the world that charters boats and has that association familiarization with it.
Mm-hmm. So, Bruce, you're the Commodore or the past Commodore of the Alaska Sailing Club, which is been around forever, sailing up on Big Lake, smaller boats, what they call dinghy sailing, although they're little boats for two people, three people. That's a good way to get into the sport,
I would think. The best way to learn how to trim and how to operate and know where the wind's coming from and feel it, because you're right down on the water. Our small boats are lasers, and, you know, at 13 foot and 6 inches of freeboard, you know where the wind's coming from and you know where the water's coming from.
And if you flip the boat, you just write it again.
You write it, you get back out of it, and you step on centerboard, and you pop it back up. Right about now, that's what the students at Big Lake are doing, right this moment.
Uh-huh. That was always a fun thing, is learning how to take it right to the edge, flip it, write it without getting wet, right. And then jump back in the boat. And sometimes it worked, sometimes it didn't.
It's called a dry capsize. And we have a number of young people that do it again and again and again because it seems to be as much fun as sailing itself.
Yeah, it is. So, what happens is the boat tips over, you climb out as it's tipping, stand on the centerboard, your weight on the centerboard brings the boat back up, and before it rights, you dive back into the boat, and then hopefully your sails are headed into the wind, you don't just flip over again.
Which is, of course, part of the fun.
Right.
Especially when you're under age 16.
That's right. So what about a family that wants to do this? What do they need to invest, or how do they go about getting involved in it on a sort of a total entry level, little risk
Well, our
level?
Family membership is $500 a year, and this includes access to our fleet of boats, which is six skipjacks, 2 keel boats, not as large as what you have in Prince William Sound, but 22 and 24 footers, and single-hand lasers, and two-hand Buccaneer. And so we've got a reasonable inventory of boats going nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be increasing as
so
years go on.
You don't have to buy your own.
You do not have to buy your own. There's club boats available. And there's almost always extra club boats on shore. It's very rare that we get them all out there.
Mm-hmm.
This year we've had a couple of days where it looked close.
Yeah, it's a nice
pretty
weather. Yeah.
Pretty impressive fleet out there.
And I know you have a lot of racing, a lot of other activities, and we're going to get into more of that. The hour's going by too fast, as I knew it would. I want to thank you, Sam, for being here for the first half hour with us.
Thank you.
We're going to be talking more about sailing, more aspects of sailing, and even sailing on boats that are too small to hold a human being. Can puzzle on that, and we'll get into that in the second half. But right now, it's time for the Outdoor Explorer Calendar. The 70th annual Anchorage Garden Club Annual Flower Show is this weekend at the Northway Mall in Anchorage. Each year, the club highlights the horticulture that can be grown in South Central Alaska, along with the floral design talents of Alaskans. Everyone interested in flowers, plants, and gardening is invited to participate by viewing or entering. The show is free and open to the public from 1 to 9 p.m. Saturday, August 3rd, and 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Sunday, August 4th. Enjoy a free presentation about the Aurora Borealis and Alaska's volcanoes Wednesdays at 2 at the Public Lands Center, Public Lands Information Center. Meet a UAA professor who will explain the science and the beauty, and watch a film showcasing the colorful swirls of our northern lights. Learn about the aurora starting at 2 p.m., followed by Alaska's volcanoes at 2:30 p.m. every Wednesday this summer at the Alaska Public Lands Building in downtown Anchorage. The Alaska Office of Boating Safety is offering Alaska Waterwise, a boating course designed for Alaskans, on Wednesday, August 10th at the Atwood Building in Anchorage from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. This 8-hour course is approved by the National Association of State Boating Law Administrators and recognized by the U.S. Coast Guard. The course satisfies most states' boating safety education requirements and may even qualify boaters for boat discount, insurance discounts. And as always, you'll find links to these activities and calendar items on our website at alaskapublic.org. Finally, the Anchorage Coastal Trail Bike and Bird Day will be held 1 to 5 p.m. this Saturday, August 4th. To tell us a little bit more about the event, we have Aaron Bowman from Audubon, Alaska, with us by phone. Hi, Aaron.
Hello. Good to talk to you.
So you're combining biking and birding. How do you do that? What's the activity all about?
Well, what we're going to do this weekend is we're going to start at Westchester Lagoon, and then people can bike from station to station along the coastal trail. And at these stations, we're going to have binoculars and spotting scopes, and there will be checklists available so people can mark down, record what they see. And we'll have volunteers at each station to help people identify birds and appreciate, you know, these really quite remarkable birds we have right on our doorstep.
So the birds you'll be looking at primarily being the coastal refuge there along the coastal trail?
Exactly, yes, right on the coastal flats. We'll also be heading down to the Spinard Crossing area, the Frolf site down there, where there's some nature trails. So there will be some woodland birding going on down there as well.
Where is that exactly?
That's just along the Chester Creek Trail, going from Westchester Lagoon to the Spinard Crossing area.
Oh, I got you. Down where that little, there's a little kind of creek, where the creek slows down and turns into the lagoon, and there's some sort of wooded area there.
Mm-hmm. Exactly, yeah. So, and then at 1 to 1:30, the Alaska Zoo will have a bird showing at Westchester Lagoon. And then at 4:30 to 5:30, they'll have a bird showing at Elderberry Park near downtown on the coastal trail.
So a bird showing where they're going to bring out some birds of prey and sort of show them off and do an explanation, that kind of thing?
Exactly, yeah.
Wow, this is great. What an interesting idea. Have you done this before?
We have. Last year we did the same type of thing. This year we're going to be rerouting it due to the the coastal trail rehab that's going on. We're not going down towards Earthquake Park, but we're heading in towards downtown. So it'll change things up, and we'll be able to explore what's around as far as birds are concerned, right under the nose of downtown.
Mm-hmm. So is the event free for anybody who shows up?
It is. It's a free event. People are welcome to come and start at Westchester Lagoon, where we'll have a sign-up sheet. But even if you don't sign up to participate, you can, if you're just on the coastal trail and are curious, you can stop by and talk with the volunteers, ask questions, and look at some birds.
That's neat. So what's your goal? Is it just to introduce more people to birding and sort of spread the word about the nature of Anchorage?
That's, yes, essentially so. Yeah, we're just wanting to show people this important bird area that we have right here on our doorstep, and show people the environment that we have around us and the really cool birds that are starting out on their, that many of them are nesting up here and starting out on their migration down to South America and other areas. And yeah, just educate people about the environment that we live in here.
Hmm. And it's kind of neat the way the trails are set up is that a fairly small area, you can see a lot of different kinds of bird habitat from just starting from the lagoon.
Yes, yes. And there will be, for those who sign up, we'll be having a little competition. See who can see over a certain number of species, and there may be some prizes going along with that.
Okay, great. So give me the details one more time, where people meet and what time and where they can get more information.
Okay, the Bike and Bird Day will start at Westchester Lagoon, the boat launch area right there in front of the island. It's August 4th, so coming up on this Sunday, and it starts at 1 o'clock, and they're to sign up there at 1 o'clock. And if you'd like more information, you can contact me, Aaron Bowman, here at the Audubon Alaska office at 907-276-7034, or at my email address, which is Bowman, B-O-W-M-A-N, at audubon.org. And come on by and enjoy.
And thanks, Aaron. And we'll also have a link to the Anchorage Coastal Trail Bike and Bird Day on our website, along with all the other events we've mentioned today on the Outdoor Explorer calendar at alaskapublic.org. Just go down the page and find today's show, click on it, and you will find out about that event. Thanks very much for being with us, Aaron.
Okay, thank you.
And by the way, if you have an event you want to publicize, you can just go to alaskapublic.org and click calendar, and we will put it out on our website and may talk about it on the air as well. Stay with us for the second half of the show. We're going to be back talking more about sailing when Outdoor Explorer continues.
You are listening to Outdoor Explorer from KSKA Anchorage. You can find Outdoor Explorer on Facebook and iTunes. To see what's coming up on future programs and add your voice to the conversation, go to alaskapublic.org.
We're back. It's Outdoor Explorer. I'm Charles Wolforth. Our topic today is sailing and all its many aspects here in Alaska. A topic that I thought, well, was a manageable topic, but it turns out it's way too big. We need to come back and talk about this more. We had Sam Steele with us from the William Seward Sailing Club in the first half. They have a lot of great activities going on. Joining us in the second half, we have Greg Barta from the North Star Model Sailing Club here in Anchorage. Thanks for being with us, Greg.
Great to be here. Thank you.
And Bruce Lee is still with us from the Alaska Sailing Club.
Yes, I'm still on.
and Deborah Altamont from Sailing Inc. Down in Seward. And Deborah's also involved in lots of other boating stuff down in Seward. Thanks for being with us, Deborah.
Thank you.
Model sailing is a thing that I think catches every kid's imagination as being the coolest thing you could ever want to do. I mean, maybe model airplanes, but that's sort of like those are too hard. But a model sailboat you can put in the water and it sails. I remember having a little model sailboat when I was a kid and putting it in probably down at the lagoon and having other kids look at it and say, where's the motor? What makes it go, you know? And they're just real little sailboats that sail.
Right. They're about 3 feet long, and they're about 4 feet high from the keel bulb all the way to the top of the mast. And every time we sail them down at Westchester Lagoon, we draw a crowd of kids, especially, and all of us are very generous in handing over the controls, and that's how we get kids hooked on the sport.
And the boat it really sails just like a big sailboat, right? I mean, it's not like there's you've just got little servo motors that are controlling the sails and so forth.
Correct. Once it's on the water, we can control the sails, bringing them in and letting them out, and the rudder. So you have two controls once it's on the water. However, before you put it on the water, there are all sorts of controls, just like on a real full-sized sailboat, to trim the sails, adjust the sails, get it set up for light wind or heavy wind or whatever. And so all the same technical aspects are there, along with the same rules. We race by the exact same rules that they use in the sailing groups out at Big Lake or out in Seward.
And racing, I'm sure, for adults, it must be a really big part of it.
Absolutely, absolutely. We've got members that are everywhere from 14 years all the way up to into their 70s.
Uh-huh. So one thing, this may be it's a dumb-sounding question, but you have this sailboat that is so beautiful, and it's so you put so much work into it, and it sails off. And then what if it doesn't come back?
Well, that has happened. We've had members when we had some real big winds come up. We had one go to the bottom of Westchester where you could see just the tip of the mast sticking out. And so that individual kind of stripped down to their swimsuit and waded out there and grabbed it. And that boat is still sailing today.
That's funny. So how often do you do your races and get together?
We get together in the summer once the ice goes out until the ice comes back in the lagoon. We sail from every Sunday at 2 o'clock and also 5:30 on Tuesday nights.
Wow, that's a lot of sailing.
It is.
So and what is how many folks would come out for one of these races?
Typically, just on our normal sail nights, we end up with anywhere from 4 to 6 boats. A big event, we might have a dozen. And so we like to get everybody out there, probably about 25 of these particular model boats that we sail on a regular basis mm-hmm. in the area.
And so you're sort of tacking back and forth and positioning to get across the starting line as soon as after the gun fires or whatever signal you've got, and then sailing a course around some buoys and coming back across the finish line. First one was winner.
Correct. We actually have some tether balls that we toss out there with some weights on them to set a course.
Those are the buoys.
Those are the buoys. And so we have an upwind mark and a downwind mark, and we usually just sometimes we do 2 laps of that. Sometimes it's 1 lap. It just depends on how strong the winds are.
Oh, that sounds like a lot of fun. So is it just for the honor of victory, or do you have prizes in the whole thing?
Some years we have full-blown regattas and we have prizes, and this year we're just trying to get people out on a regular basis to build their skills, and so we haven't had any organized actual races. We just go out, and it's just for the pride of who can win a particular little heat.
Uh-huh. And we've got some pictures on the website of that you provided about showing the boats, and folks will probably want to check that out and go to alaskapublic.org, click on today's show. And Bruce, from the Alaska Sailing Club, there's a lot of racing going on with the club, too.
Of course. We do a Wednesday night series, 3 groups of 3 during the summer months, of course. We just had an event this last Wednesday, one of the most beautiful ever. 80s. Good uh-huh. wind. Amazing.
And how many people are coming out for these races?
Typical Wednesday night crowd, we're going to get 10 to 12 boats on the water. Mm-hmm. Our larger regattas, we've got to go on coming up in a couple of weeks, which is our Fireweed. I expect we're going to see 15 to 18 boats on the water. We break it up now into our comp fleet, which is our more experienced sailors, and a go fleet, which is our new sailors, which mostly have just started this year. And we do separate starts so that our new sailors don't have to deal with a very intimidating start line.
So they have the, and they have some chance of success, right?
Some chance of success, but some of the new sailors have come out of the box amazingly good.
Well, sailboat racing is a mental game and a psychological game. It takes a lot of skill to be good at it. And I don't think sort of people who haven't done it probably don't understand exactly the aspects of the sport where everything is in motion and all these different forces are in motion. You're trying to, I mean, getting a good start is maybe one of the very biggest parts of it. Explain how you get a good start and what that means.
A good start. We have a 5-minute starting sequence and we drop down minute by minute. And, of course, the objects to get across that starting line, which isn't really very large, is exactly the start line, start signal time.
You can't go over it early.
Go over it early, you got to go back around and do it again, which will cost you the event, usually.
And sailboats don't stop, so everything's always moving.
Everything's always in motion. And it's like a chess match, going upwind and downwind. We have a lot of small boats. They maneuver quickly, and so, therefore, either tactical maneuvering between each other, you know, cutting off your friend. There's rules that you have to abide by. If you break a rule, you will have to do what we call turnarounds, where you're going to have to jibe or come around two or three times, depending upon what rule infraction, and come around the buoys. We change the course frequently, even during an evening or during an event, for the wind changes and how far and how long we want to be out there.
Mm-hmm. And when we talk about the rules, that there's if you're going a certain direction, in other words, there's a certain tack when the boom is on one side of the boat, you have right of way over the other boat. So if you can push that guy out of the way, he's got to dive out of your way if you're coming at him. And that's part of the chess game you're talking
that
about.
That is very much part of the chess game. And sailing's a thinking game. You really have to think up the course, planning your shifts, when you're going to tack, to get to the buoy next. And then you got all your competitors doing the same thing, trying to make your life just as difficult as they can.
Mm-hmm.
And it becomes incredibly fun for such a simple little boat.
Fun and potentially frustrating because you don't have, like a foot race or something, you want to go faster, you just go faster. In a sailboat, you go just as fast as the wind allows you to go with the tactics that you've adopted. So you've gone to one side of the course or another side, and you trim the sails maximally, and if you've made a mistake, you can't just go faster.
That's the beauties of the dinghy also, is that you know right away what you've done wrong. Uh-huh. Especially when your competitors march over the top of you. It's happened too many frequently times. We very much enjoy trying to get the better of the guy next to you. Mm-hmm. And it's that's where the fun in it lies.
So how do folks learn how to do this?
Well, the class is a good starting point. It's 3 days of, you know, pretty intense classroom time and then on the water. And then we get them on the water and it's practice. The Go Fleet starters are going out there and learning starting techniques. Again, buoy rounding. And this is after our classroom scheduled times. Get out there and work with each other on boats, trade off, go to different boats, and learn the techniques. And then we concentrate on then teaching some of the basic rules. The rules can be they're a little intrinsic, very, very tight rules that are hard to learn. But the basic rules, 5 basic rules, simple and a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. So can folks sort of give it a try without doing the full year membership, just come up for a class or something?
We invite people up all the time. Come see us on a regatta weekend or even a Wednesday night. Love to put you in a boat, take you out there. We always have open spots. Love a beginner in one of either larger boats or one of the 2-man dinghies. Some people, instant hook. Others, just don't get it.
Yeah, that's right. Well, it's a personality thing, right? I mean, it's those who just want to go fast, it's maybe not for them. Although it feels really fast when the wind is blowing. It feels faster to be on a fast sailboat than to be on a speedboat, I would say.
Very much so. And some of us are very much speed demons, and we'll try to buy our way into a faster boat.
Have you seen those amazing America's Cup boats that they've built for San Francisco Bay? These boats, they have a plane on the keel. They're a catamaran. And when they get going, they lift all the way out of the water and are deadly. They're very dangerous to sail.
40 knots going windward and downwind on foils. Amazing.
It's just incredible. Yeah, fabulous technology. So Alaska Sailing Club, your website is on our website at alaskapublic.org. People can just find it there. And lots of other materials there, some good pictures, and you can hook up with all of our guests today. So that was Bruce Lee from the Alaska Sailing Club. Deborah Altermat from Sailing Inc., you've provided some great pictures too, and I love the fact that you threw in a picture of a breaching whale, because that's part of sailing from Seward, isn't it? This amazing wildlife viewing opportunity you have.
Yeah, you know, one of the things that we were talking about earlier is that it's so hard to divide your time up with all the different things that Alaskans like to do. But with sailing, and Sam mentioned a little bit, you know, you can go out there and you can put your kayaks on board one of a 30-foot boat. You can add a couple of kayaks, your dinghy. Right now, everybody loves to paddleboard, so you can add one of those on there and take off and go anchor down in a cove someplace, and you'll have lots of wildlife viewing. You can kayak around wherever you're anchored. You can go hiking. Of course, there's fishing off of a sailboat, which people love to do to get that big salmon out here, and just all kinds of things. So, yeah, there are a lot of activities involved with sailing when you get out in Resurrection Bay or beyond.
Yeah, that's right. And is there much racing that goes on down there as well?
You know, Sam didn't mention it, but the William H. Seward Yacht Club has traditionally had weekend races. This year, they have some other things going on, and I don't believe they've been doing much of that. There is one other yacht club in Seward. It's the Kenai Fjords Yacht Club, and it's been around for a long time as well. They're a lot different than the William H. in that they don't have a facility, and their annual dues is $20 a person. And with that $20 a person, you get a reciprocity membership for yacht clubs all across America. And you get use of the dock carts, which is probably the biggest reason people join down here. And then we also have quarterly membership meetings where they try to get together and figure out a nice community project to do to help better the harbor or the area here. And then this spring, they put together also, I know Wednesday night must be a great night for sailing, because like in Big Lake, we started a Wednesday night local racing, and we just opened it up to anybody who wanted to go racing. And on Wednesday night, we would meet at the Harbor Plaza right in front of the Harbor Master's office, see how many boats we had represented, and then how many people in the community who wanted to go out and try out racing that way, and divide up the people without boats on the people that had boats and go out and do some racing. And it was very casual. We didn't have any handicapping going on. We had kind of a course race where it was a three-point, go to the cross over towards SMIC, come back to the Sea Life Center and back up to the harbor, and then have a nice after-race get-together where people talked about that. And talk about learning how to sail. I mean, when you get two boats together, it's always a race, no matter where you mm-hmm. are. And so you learn how to trim the sails.
Even if the other boat doesn't know it.
That's right.
So,
I get the impression that most people who are sailing out of Seward, though, are not there for competitive reasons. They're really there as a family activity to sort of get into the outdoors, and maybe they'll fish off the deck and they'll go some great place and go ashore and have a bonfire, like Sam was saying. Is that true? It's mostly cruising and sort of being outdoors.
Yeah, I think you're right with that. And, you know, when the William H. Seward did have the racing series, there was probably a group of maybe 5 to 7 boats that were serious competitors, and those boats were anywhere from like 35 to 40 feet long. And, boy, some people that have been around a long, long time, like John and Linda Kuman. And Linda is still racing when she has a chance, and she gets out there on her 40-foot boat, and she just puts everybody else to shame. Mm-hmm. So, it's a lot of fun. We annually have the Rum Doodle, which is a women's race down here. And that's maybe 4 or 5 boats go out with teams of women on board go out and compete. And, yeah, it's high stakes, winner takes all on that one.
Mm-hmm. I want to just want one more thing for you, Deborah, which is that I think a lot of Alaskans are probably familiar with Resurrection Bay from the deck of a motorboat. How long it takes you to run over to Thumb Cove or run down even to the end of the bay, an hour, maybe an hour and a half. Sailboat is a whole different thing. The speed is so different, and the fact that you have to probably tack to go towards the ocean. So you sort of have to have a different frame of reference in terms of how much time things take. I mean, what is a sort of to sail the length of Resurrection Bay and back is probably an all-day affair, right?
Yeah, it kind of is. You know what they say on a sailboat, this is kind of something you've probably heard before, but it's not the destination, it's the journey. And you head out and you have a great time getting to where you're going. Sun Cove is probably the first destination that people can get to. A lot of folks will drive down from Anchorage on a Friday night after work, and they'll get here, and in the summertime there's plenty of light, so they'll get everything together on the boat and head out to Sun Cove, which is a wonderful anchorage. So if the conditions are right and you sail out there, you can leave the harbor and probably sail out to Sun Cove in a couple of hours, and it will take three tacks. And if you're good and the weather's with you, if you decide that you're going to go further, then you're right. You're going to go past Fox Island and Sunny Cove and keep going out that way, and it'll take you a few hours more to get out that way.
Yeah. So I want to get back to, and thanks, Deborah, I want to get back to my mm-hmm. other guest to talk about the model sailboats. And we've got some terrific photos that you provided, Greg, on our website showing these boats and the people sailing them. And it strikes me that part of the fun of this sport must be building the boat, right?
Absolutely. And depending on your skill at building, it can take anywhere from, say, 30 hours to 100 hours to build these, depending on how much time you put into them.
So what do you start out with? I mean, in terms of the kit, are you sort of starting from scratch?
You start out with a plastic ABS hull, a 6-pound keel bulb weight. You have to attach that to it with some epoxy, and you have to smooth it all out and paint the hull. And then you have to build all the rigging. And all the rigging is as complicated as you'd have on a real full-size sailboat. And tying those little tiny knots and all those sorts of things, it takes a long time. And my son actually built one when he was in sixth grade. Bruce, it was his, partner on building this, and he coached him on building this. And it, because he was very meticulous, had never built a model before, it took him about 100 hours.
Wow, that's a lot of patience for a sixth grader.
It is. But he just loves it. And as a matter of fact, just this morning he put a new little, rudder servo in it. He's going to try that out because he's been having a few glitches with it. He's been losing rudder control, so he's kind of excited to try that out.
I think speaking for myself and a lot of other sixth graders, I know the first thing you'd want to put on it would be a cannon.
What he'd like to do is mount a little GoPro camera on it and actually film with it is what I think he'd like to do.
Oh, that would be a good idea. Yeah, you could probably do that. So how fast do these model boats go? I don't know, right?
Two to three knots.
Right?
Yeah, 2 to 3 knots, maybe.
So good fast walking speed.
Oh, absolutely. And when you get a crowd of those at the line and everything, they start going. It's quite a sight. It's a lot of fun.
Now, Bruce was talking about this complicated strategy and this chess game of sailing the dinghies. Is it kind of the same thing with the radio control, except you've also are thinking about it in a different dimensional space because it's distant from where you are, right?
It is, but actually, if you sail real sailboats that you ride on, sailing model sailboats can make you a better sailor because there are things that you can see from above that you can't see when you're on the water and you're at water level. And so all the same skills apply for sailing a model sailboat as you have in a big boat. And so we have all the same rules, all the same tactics, and it's really fantastic. My son has actually stepped up to sailing the boats up at Big Lake now because he had such a great time sailing the little model sailboats.
So he's going back and forth, and it sounds like you go back and forth a bit too.
I do. And I had never sailed in my life until I ended up crewing on a boat up in Big Lake. And then I've gone the other direction. Now I'm sailing a small, RC sailboat over at Westchester Laguna on a regular basis.
Sounds like you'd really want to know quite a bit about sailing before you built one of these boats.
It's helpful, but the kit actually comes with some great instructions page by page and the little DVD that comes with it on how to build it. And then the club actually gets together in the wintertime, and we help people build these and complete these projects because some of the things that people are building, they haven't had any experience with. And so we can help people over sort of the rough areas or the harder areas of the boat construction so that they can get them on the water the following spring.
So you kind of get together for workshops and stuff like that?
Exactly. We get together in a garage, and everybody brings their boats. And so having another boat to look at while you're working on it is really helpful.
Huh. Well, that sounds like fun. So your website should give people access to figure out how to get involved with the club and sort of contact
Absolutely.
You guys.
Yes.
And that's linked to our website, alaskapublic.org. Again, cost. I'm thinking most people can afford to buy a model sailboat.
The model sailboats, the complete kit with radio, electronics, everything is $495, and there's one distributor. He's based out of Maryland, and he ships them up here and supplies all the parts. They're manufactured here in the United States. All the plastic parts and everything are formed here.
Is it kind of a standard thing for anywhere in the country where you'd go, sort of the same model of boat?
There are several models that are raced, and so the model that we use up here is the CR914, and we use that because that was the most common model that was up here, so that when we race, we can tell whether it's the skipper that's sailing it or whether it's the boat, you know, and so because they're all the same boat, you know, we know it's the skipper if it's competitive.
Right. So anybody who wants to get into it needs to contact you guys and get the right kind of boat.
Well, it's really helpful. We welcome anybody. Mm-hmm. There was somebody out the other night with a T-27, another sailboat that he had just completed, and we invited him to come sail with us. It's a very different kind of boat, but we welcome all sailboats.
Mm-hmm. And talking about the Alaska Sailing Club, just as we finish up here, Bruce, you have a rating system because not all the boats are the same. So the first one to win the race may not be the actual winner. The first one to cross the line may not be the winner.
Well, this is the bane of my existence. They have a Portsmouth number, and the number goes from in the hundreds all the way down into a very, very low number. And if you have a low number and there's a multiplication, a formula factor, then you can win a race by a large margin, but yet lose the race to a substantially slower boat that perhaps was sailed better.
Uh-huh.
And so we can take a slower boat and put it in our fleet of faster boats, and sometimes that slower boat ends up to be the winner, although it wasn't the first to cross the line.
I got you. So it's there's a little bit of luck and maybe some strategy involved in which boat you select.
In selecting for our conditions is important, but it's always hard to pick what do you want to own. It's always hard.
Mm-hmm. So, Deborah, is there still time this summer for people to get into classes and learn how to sail in Seward?
Well, you know, we've had such a great summer this year. Our classes have been pretty full, and we're now operating with only a couple of classes left in August, and they're full. So we're looking at wait lists, and we're putting out our 2014 Academy schedule. Will be out next month. Can find that on our website and sign up for e-news as well.
It breaks my heart to think that summer is more than half over. Bruce, you still got classes?
We are in our last class through this weekend. Mm-hmm. We still invite people to come out on Wednesday night. Check out our website or Regatta. We'll be glad to show you around. We'll be doing classes again, of course, next year. It kind of tapers down towards the end of the season how many people want to jump in.
Yeah. All right. Well, I want to thank all of my guests. That was Bruce Lee you just heard of. Heard from. He's with the Alaska Sailing Club. Deborah Altermat with the Sailing Inc. down in Seward. Greg Barta with the North Star Model Sailing Club. Earlier in the show, you heard from Sam Steele of the William Seward Sailing Club. And we also heard from the Audubon Society, Aaron Bowman. And next week, we're going to be talking about fish camp, kind of a change of pace. We're going to be talking about going out in the river and getting your fish for the winter. That's all for today's show. I want to thank our producer, Kristen Speck. I'm Charles Wolforth. Till next week, I'll see you outside.
Outdoor Explorer is a production of Alaska Public Media, which is solely responsible for its content. Theme music is by Portugal the Man. Views expressed are those of the host and participants and do not reflect the underwriters or KSKA. Learn more about Outdoor Explorer and listen online at alaskapublic.org.
Life informed. This is Alaska Public Media.